you blessed? Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord and under the Word of God? How many are learning and growing in faith? How many, like Pat, are learning that prophecy is not something weird that you do the same way in every service to prove that you're a Spirit-filled church? Prophecy, real prophecy, is you speak what the Word of God says. It's a bullseye every time. When you speak God's promise over your situation, you speak. You believe, you speak, and you will see. Say with me today, I believe, I speak, therefore I will see. Because I'm already seeing it in the Spirit. Are you here today? Faith. The just shall live by faith. I want you to turn one more time as a refresher. How many enjoyed Ryan last week? Aren't you glad that perfect love casts out all fear? Hallelujah. And I'm glad that he does just that. Turn in your Bibles very quickly. Just want to give you just a quick refresher. Or maybe you haven't been with us. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 tells us, you can look there and underline it, that the just, can you say it with me? The just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Galatians, I'm going to move fast, so you might need to write these down. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, again says, the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. And Hebrews 10:38 again says, are you here this morning? The just shall live by faith. Now, if you've been hanging around in this house very long, we know that the just or the righteous are not righteous because of what they do, but because of what they believe. How many believers do we have in the house today? Not because of what you do. How many know when you got started on this wonderful journey in Jesus, you got started because of believing in His unmerited, undeserved love for you by grace through faith? Are you saved? You're saved. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not anything you could do. It is a gift from God. The Apostle Paul declares by the Spirit of God in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And so we need to realize that the just, how many justs do we have in the house today? This is, now I'm not talking about how good you lived it this week. I'm saying, did you believe on Jesus? Is your life today, even if you're struggling and maybe a failure by everybody else's account, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Yes. And we're going to talk about this today. And man, I wish we had three times the people that we do here. But we got exactly who needs to be here this morning, right? Yes. Can you say amen? So we're going to move forward. As you know, I don't mind overlapping and recapping. I believe what I heard my dad say about another preacher years ago, you ought to preach it until your people can preach it with you. And I hope that's the case. Amen? Okay, so I want to, let's just pick up where we were at just a few weeks ago. Just as a little bit of a reminder, I wasn't going to start here, but I'm going to go ahead and back up just a little bit so we are there together. God never spoke, I mean, remember this, God never spoke what He saw. Aren't you glad? The earth was void. It was dark. It was without form. God did not say, wow, it sure is dark, and then it got darker. No, what He did is He called light out of darkness. That's what Philippians tells us. He didn't speak what He saw. He spoke what He believed. How many believers we have in the house today? I'm going to ask you that through the day because we're going to make some adjustments. Speak. Learn to be like God. Paul said, be imitators of me as I follow Christ. How many know that Christ, by Him and for Him, were all things created, Colossians tells us, and everything is held together and consists by and through Him. Everything, according to Hebrews 1, is held together by the power, I'm going to get it right here in a minute, by the word of His power. An interesting phrase, way that is put, okay? What you believe, is it hot in here to you?
No.
Okay, just making sure. Okay, what you believe is based on your... okay. What you believe is based on your contract with God. How many know what your contract with God is? What is your contract with God? Come on, people, help me out. Surely, what is your contract? Can I give you a hint? Everybody, pick up your Bibles this morning. Like Brother Osteen used to say, wave it around, shake it a little bit, make the devil nervous. This is your contract. There is an old and a new covenant. And now because of Jesus, you have great and exceeding precious promises in this new covenant. Here is your contract. This contract says something. It says, Philippians 4:19, just what Brother Chris was sharing up here this morning, miracles because people trusted and put God's word to the test. I mean, even under the old covenant, God says in Malachi, prove me this day. Try me. Test me and see if I won't open up. That's under the old law. Imagine now in Jesus, Ephesians 1, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Whoo, that's good news. Huh? That's right. Paul says, my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, in the context of money. So if you got a problem with money, then why are you working? And who is your provider, you or God? 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, he, Jesus, was made poor so that you and I would have a full supply to be able to abound in our giving to others' needs. Rich, are you with me? It is his word. My contract says that by his stripes, be careful. For some of you, that's become cliche. Watch it. Any part of the word of God that becomes cliche, you're not going to enjoy the power from it. Don't let it ever become. Revel in the words that by his stripes, I am healed. That's been on my lips. That's been on my tongue. It's been there all week long. I'm thankful he causes me to live strong and boldly in this thing. Listen. Let me warn you about something, people of God. You see somebody who's getting a hold of this. Maybe they're kind of new to the things of faith. Maybe they're getting a hold of this confession thing and speaking the word of God. And you hear them like a child saying, well, I believe, I confess right now. And you can see they're hurting, they're limping, they're struggling. And you hear them say, I'm believing God. I'm standing firm. And you go, oh, yes, amen. That's good. You know, you're taking your medication too, though, right? And you know what that's like? That's so cute. When you grow up like us, you'll understand that there's a lot of hitches to this plan. Be careful. Encourage. Affirm. Maybe you need to get your old stance on faith back where it belongs. Let the word of God rise strong in your mouth. The kind of attitude that says, if I never see it happen, it's still true, and I will proclaim it to my dying breath because he is faithful. If there's something wrong, it's not him. Hallelujah. How many are glad for Jesus today? Three of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? Hallelujah. So be careful. Encourage one another. But if I do, man, he's going to get fanatical. I'll tell you what, I'd a whole lot rather simmer a fanatic down than to try to drag a dead horse. I can direct live fire. You can't do nothing with just wet lumber. How many glad for Jesus? Amen. So let's be careful. Let's encourage one another. Spouses, don't say, oh, that's cute. Well, you got to be balanced. Watch your mouth. Stand tall. Prophesy. Speak the word of God. Stand together. Encourage one another. Even if you think it's cute, don't let it be seen on your face or off your lips. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Bless one another. I love how the apostles in every letter they wrote to a young church, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. I love it. Isn't that great? Okay, so speak what you believe. Matthew chapter 5, verse 36. I won't go and read it. We already did a couple of weeks ago. But we see Jairus, a synagogue leader whose daughter had died. He comes to Jesus. Help! Here's what Jesus said to him. Be not, that's why I love Ryan's message from last week. Be not afraid. Here's the next phrase. Only believe. Be not afraid. Only believe. Some of you are sitting in here and you have disqualified yourself. You haven't been in church like you should. You haven't been doing this like you should. You haven't been doing that like you should. You haven't kept up on this like you should. You've done all these things that you shouldn't have. And you're sitting there and you've completely disqualified yourself because you have been duped into believing by the church, not the world, by the church, that your behavior, your character, your everything else is what makes the difference in God working in your life. I'm here to tell you something. I'm gonna be very bold. I want you to hear what I'm saying. It's your believing. Who do you believe in? I'm not saying that it's not important how you live. What I'm saying is how you live has nothing to do with faith. And if you get your believing right, God will help you. You'll live more holy and more righteous by accident than you ever did on purpose. And when you do blow it, now, I know some of you in here will never blow it again, and you haven't blown it in months. You're perfect. But for the rest of you, when you do blow it, you won't do a Monopoly game, no pass go, no collect $200, all the way back to the beginning of the board. No, you'll stand and you'll say, I blew it, I'm sorry, I love you, I didn't mean to hurt your heart, Father, but I'm standing, I'm believing God, I'm moving forward. Yes, I did say that, come back. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Think of that, he invented that whole system. Okay, so come back. Here we go. Come back. We can believe God. Trust Him. Living right. Absolutely, our desire should be to live right. How many know as we grow in God, our life should be an example of who He is? Sin and the works of the flesh should be falling away the more we see Jesus. But if we ever get this backwards, it affects everything in our life. It's not your doing, it's your believing, let alone the other thing that I mentioned. Okay, so here we go. All right, so moving right along. So here's what we see. He says, don't be afraid to Jairus, only believe. I want everybody in here to say with me, only believe. We're going to hang right there this morning for a little bit. Jesus tells us the first thing the devil comes to steal is not your health. Are you here today? It's not your relationships, not your finances, or whatever other area of struggle. It's the word of God, your contract. The first place that he'll come in and rob that is, you know, the minute that we start thinking about behavior in others or ourselves, we begin to judge and compare. We become critical. The first thing to go is worship and thankfulness. When worship and thankfulness is gone, there is no rehearsing with liberty and freedom. The contract. Great and exceeding precious promises. Isn't that awesome? When he steals the word from you, he's able to steal all the rest. I'm recapping, repeating, reminder. Some of you will remember these exact words. Many of us got a hold of an aspect of faith a few years back, and God did some wonderful things as we believed like a child. How many can remember? And we look back and realize many of us, hopefully just some of us, that we quit believing some things. We doing all right? Say with me, the just. Smile when you say it, the just shall live. by faith. And I'm just by the blood of Jesus. Come on, everybody in here say it. I'm just righteous because I believe in the work of the blood. Okay, here it is. The Bible puts it very simply how faith works. 2 Corinthians 4:13, our key scripture, theme scripture throughout this time. Here's what it says. Spirit of God speaking through Paul says, he's quoting King David in Psalms 116. Here he says, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Say, I believe. Come on, everybody in here. Let's work at it together. Let's do some plowing this morning. Speak to yourself this morning. Say, I believe, and therefore I speak. This is what he says. When things are tumbling down all around you and nothing seems to be going right, the temptation is to begin to speak what you see and not what you believe. Remember, God didn't look at darkness and say, wow, how dark it is. But he called light into existence. Speak your contract with God. Once again, by his stripes, I am healed. Come on, are you here today? Do you believe Psalms 103:1-5 that says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that old scripture? Yeah, I remember that. That's a really neat song. That's why. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We got a man sitting over here completely healed of a prostate issue, stood on the word of God. Gave his testimony back here. Number, we got different people all through the house. I'm hearing one after another as people reach in and get a hold. By his stripes, I'm healed. He supplies all of my needs. Hallelujah. I have perfect peace because I have the mind of Christ. That's a new covenant way of thinking about the old covenant. Perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on thee. Okay, here we go. God supplies his greatest miracles of provision during times of famine. So get set. Are you ready? We've already talked and spoken about this, but two of 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can take the land. They saw it because they believed and spoke. You say, where you get that from? Well, if you'll look at Numbers 14, verses 27 and 28. You can just write these down because I'm going to move quickly. Numbers 14, verses 27 and 28. The other 10 returned, and here's what they said. We cannot take the land. The giants are great. It's far too much. They went right in opposition of God's promise. And here was God's response to them. As you have spoken. Everybody in here say with me, spoken. As you have spoken, so will I do unto you. Thank God we don't live under the old covenant anymore. There's a whole brand new covenant. Aren't you glad? But under this one, he says, as you've spoken, I'm going to see to it that you see the results of what you have spoken. Say with me today, I believe, I speak. I see. Say it one more time. I believe. I speak. And I see. Somebody needs to say that about your eyes this morning. I believe. I speak. And I see. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I do want to read through these. A couple of these passages. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27. We're going to start reading in 27 through 31. You'll remember the account, 27 through 31 of Matthew chapter 9. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto him, believe ye that I am able to do this? Notice how simple the question is. Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Yes. Then touched he their eyes, and he said this. Underline this in your Bible. I want to encourage you today. You don't have to live a hope so, maybe so, don't really know what God is up to, schizophrenic God. That's why we spent so much time on the book of Job in James chapter 1 to show you that God, as Elihu declares, God is not the one who afflicts. Job had to repent of all that he had said about God. And yet people take the words that Job said about God and build doctrine out of it. When Job repents of what he said and submits to Elihu, who says God does not afflict. He is not behind your affliction. You better read your Bible in context. Love it. So here he says, look at what he says. Matthew chapter 9, he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, according to your faith. Do you believe that I can do this? Yes. They had heard and heard. Finally, they cried out, have mercy on us, son of David. They saw him as more than just a rabbi. We believe you're who you say you are. Do you believe that I can do this? Yes. According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. And this is in reference to his time, okay, to die for us. All right, so moving right along then. When Jesus ministered healing, he always asked if they believed. Or after the miracle, he acknowledged their faith. Say with me, the just shall live by faith. I live by faith. He never, now listen, this is where I want to bring it in a little closer, because religion has worked hard to turn this upside down. That's why church in general in America is losing popularity, and people are leaving the church by the droves. Pastors are leaving the ministry by the droves. It's a sad state of affairs. There's a lot of reasons behind it, but I believe when you preach a mixed gospel. But you know what I see in this? Revival. Keep doing. I love what Brother Osteen said, and I know I've mentioned this several times. He said, what was the secret to your success there in Houston? This is Dad Osteen, John. He said, I kept preaching the goodness of God. We're talking about a little old hot feed barn with only 120 people with a tin roof in Houston, Texas. He said, I kept preaching the goodness of God for years until I found a group of people that believed it. So we'll just keep. How many are believing God right now? How many say, I'm a believer? I believe what he says is true. He never asked the person receiving a healing or a miracle about their behavior or their law keeping. Not one time did he ever ask them about their behavior or their law keeping. That offends the religious, but I don't care anymore. What is the point? He asked them about belief. The woman with the issue of blood. He turns to you. He turns to her and he says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. He did not. Think about what happened here. He did not say your works made you whole. Oh, your prominent family name qualified you to make you whole. You had such a sincere heart. I just couldn't pass you up. Your sincere heart made you whole. Never! What he said was, your faith. Simple, childlike faith that said, oh, this Jesus, he's different. I know because of what I've heard. If I can just get to him somehow and touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Daughter, your faith. I'm going to get a hold of faith. How many know there's grace while we're getting a hold of it? I love what Paul said. He said, this grace that I don't quite have my brain wrapped around, I don't quite understand how it works, I know that it has a hold of me. Philippians 3. I love it. I submit to you, people in Jesus' ministry received healings and miracles whose act was not together. How many in here know you don't have your act together? Come on, are you here today? Can we shake off the... I don't have my act together. Not one of the people he ministered to and miracles had their act together. But you know what they did have all together? Their believing was all together, for they heard and believed. Ooh, that's good news. Religion has said, because you did such and such, because you fall back again, because you've done, you don't qualify. Tell you what qualifies you, believing. You mind if we go a little deeper? Here we go. Look with me at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. You having as much fun as I am? I'm shouting and ranting because I love this stuff. So here we go. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. How I love this story. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. I'll tell you what, it was the thrill of thrills. Thanks to some people in this congregation to actually walk on the very stones in Capernaum. In Israel, and think and imagine this happening right there. It was amazing, right there by the Sea of Galilee. An amazing experience. It was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word, and he preached the contract, and he preached the contract. He preached the goodness of God. He preached everywhere he went. We don't have one case where Jesus laid hands on somebody and they died. We don't have one case where he laid hands and said, I'm going to put a sickness on you to teach you a lesson. I'm going to put sickness on you to grow your faith. How Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. People of God, how many believers do we have in the house today? Can I encourage you to go out of here foaming at the mouth, wild-eyed, believing God and saying crazy things? Jesus again and again says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. I love the story of the old couple. Boy, he was frustrated with her. Honey, you need to go get your ears checked. You need hearing aids. One day he decided he'd test it. She's sitting on the couch reading a book, looking the other way. He steps in quietly into the room, stands back about 10, 12 feet behind her, and he says, honey, nothing. Steps forward a few paces, about halfway. Honey, I knew it. She needs to get her ears. He's thinking to himself. He stepped a little closer. Yeah. Honey. Finally, he gets right up over the couch. He says, honey, she says, what, Don? I've said what 3 times. What do you want? While we stand in judgment, let him who has ears to hear, listen, hear what the Word of God is saying. Are you listening? Listen to what the contract says. How many are glad for Jesus today? There was no room in the house, and they came, verse 3, unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. Got a question for you today. You feel like you got problems out the roof? Feel like you got problems out the roof? There's an answer. Listen. Believe. Receive. Speak. And see. Like Chris said, it's not an overnight deal. We're a microwave generation. Taking a whole stinking 30 seconds for this coffee to heat. We're the only ones, I think, in the world. Of course, there's more and more people in the world that have McDonald's, but there was a time not too long ago we may have been the only ones in most of the world who could sit in a McDonald's drive-thru mad because a complete meal was not ready for me in 3 minutes. And that transcends into our belief system. Okay? It says, and when they could not come nigh unto him, they couldn't get near because of the press, because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they'd broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus, I want you to underline that in your Bible. You ought to feel free to write in your Bible. Look at what the Word of God tells you today. When Jesus saw how hard they were working at this, I got to do something for these boys because they're working so hard. Jesus said, boy, these guys, man, they must really love this guy. Anybody who has that kind of a heart for somebody else, I ought to do something for him. Your Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith. When he saw their faith. Listen to this. He said unto the sick of palsy, be healed. What? He said, son, your sins are forgiven. That ought to give you a clue about how God sees this new covenant. There is no difference for him between sin or sickness. How many in here knowing that according to others, and maybe even yourself as you're growing in grace, you consider yourself mostly a failure still, which you hang around, you're going to find out you need to see what God has done in you. You're not a failure. You're an overcomer. But you're living in failure because you believed a lie. For him, it was no different to say, arise and be healed, or your sins be forgiven. The church has separated forgiveness of sin from healing. Forgiveness of sin is relatively easy. Healing is really, really, really hard, and that's beaten into our fabric. Not only that, we've got books that abound that say 7 keys to receiving your healing, 3 keys to receiving your healing, 14 detriments to why you haven't received your healing. You stink. That's why you are sick. The Bible says, no, I didn't say that. I'm saying that's what this is, the mantra. Jesus says over and over again, do you believe? Yes. Your faith. You're believing. Pastor Lee, you keep preaching this stuff. There's people in here. Man, they have addictions. They have a lot of anger. They have a lot of... Oh, really? Shall we peel your closet door open? You know, the key to them being free from addiction is not doing and maintaining. The key is, what do you believe? D.L. Moody put it this way, right believing produces right living. You got a problem with anger? It's not because you're doing something wrong. You have a wrong belief. Reference to Jesus and this new covenant. Something is wrong with your belief system. You have a problem with an addiction? You don't have a problem with do. You have a problem with believe. Every time Jesus ministered miracles, he never once referenced their behavior. He referenced their belief system. How many love Jesus today? I know that's a lot for people to swallow, so I need to back it up with a word. Are you here today? Are you aware that turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verses 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. You know what that is? This is before he died, was buried, and resurrected. These people weren't born again. Do you understand? They were just hearing the goodness of God. They were seeing a different kind of rabbi begin to come and proclaim what all of this other was about, the old covenant, changing the whole bent to what God's original intention was. Jesus says, my purpose is to reveal the Father. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy. You know what he was saying? I believe you're who you say you are. That's what he was saying. You are God. I don't understand it, but I understand authority. I'm one in authority and under authority, and I see you for who you are, and you are him. I'm not worthy that you would come under my roof. And then he said something really fascinating. He said, I say to this man, verse 9, go and he goes, and to another come and he comes, and to my servant do this and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. He's saying a Gentile soldier has greater faith than anybody in the Jewish system. Now, don't forget who said this. This is Mr. I am he. This is who always was and forever shall be. This is the Alpha and the Omega, without beginning and without end. This is the one we adored at the beginning of this message, looking to him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He says about the centurion's faith, wow. Let me take it a little farther. He is the one who Scripture reveals by him and for him, Colossians 1, were all things created. So he stood one with the Father and spoke the universe into existence. This is the guy who is saying, wow. That's impressive faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the dude wasn't a Jew. He wasn't even part of the chosen people. He was, are you ready? Lawless. But he believed. You want another example? Jesus said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Turn with me to Matthew 15. Go just a few more chapters, Matthew 15. A Syrophoenician woman. Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. And Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. You think she'd heard something good? Do you think she might have grasped hold of some truth? My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. This is interesting. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Boy, that's some pretty stiff drink for a woman who's hurting. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Do you ever think of that as worship? Side note, we'll move along. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs, to puppies. Whoo, that's rough. You know what was going on here? The dudes on the roof, he saw their faith. The centurion, he saw his faith. Right here, his disciples are watching this seemingly rough handling. You know what he was seeing? He was seeing her faith. He was drawing it out. Like the blacksmith will draw steel. Drawing. And she said, true, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs. Woo! Boy, listen to this. The dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. He wasn't messing with her and being mean. He was drawing it out. He said, great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as you will. Do you want to know what the two greatest examples of faith in the life of Jesus were? Two Gentiles who were lawless. But they believed, you are him. Wow. I want to stir your faith today. I want to stir prophecy on the inside of you. Not a lot of this goofy stuff that's running rampant through the church and guys standing and spouting things off that may or may not happen. I'm talking about a woman or a man of God who can stand and say, God has said it, therefore I say it. I believe, I speak, and I shall see the goodness of God, the salvation of God. Woo, that's good news. Whew, would that I had another hour. God cannot work beyond what you believe. Now listen, before you take that wrong, I'm not saying that he won't work in your behalf like he always has. God through his mercy, everybody say mercy. God through his mercy gives opportunity after opportunity as he demonstrates and pours out and abounds in grace to all. He's working. 9-0-24-7. He's working out of his great love for God so loved the world. But I'm talking about you as believers individually, or anybody for that matter. God cannot move past what you believe. Notice every miracle Jesus did. He said, according to your faith. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Do you believe? Yes, I believe. Then so be it. According to your faith. Over and over and over again. This is why our faith is so important. Grace people, get a hold of the purpose for grace, and that is that you stand and begin to act like God, because the grace of God, the ability of God lives on the inside of you and empowers you to speak the impossible. We doing all right? Believe right, and you'll live right. Here's the problem. The church has been teaching for years, live right, character, character, behave, behave, obedience, obedience, discipline, discipline. And we have unwittingly preached the philosophy and the life principles of the Old Testament, the law. We have pointed people back to themselves as the answer for their plight. That's religion versus relationship. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 7 says that the old, that was which was written in stone, is annulled, done away with. It repeats it again, which is done away, in verse 11. Not me, don't get mad at me. The Spirit of God through Paul says the law is annulled. Now we say the law is useless and no good and done away with? Absolutely not. The law is perfect and holy and stands forever. The perfect righteousness of God. But you now, as a believer, no longer relate to God through the law, for the Spirit of God through Paul said, the law is for the lawless. Who are the lawless? According to Scripture, now under the new covenant, it's those who have believed not that the Son came in the flesh as Savior of the world. If you believe that, you are not lawless. I don't care how much you've busted the law and broken the law, you're probably doing those things because you have believed some things wrong. If I can help you to get off of your behavior and get you back on believing in Him, you'll see that you will live more holy by accident than you ever did on purpose. Are you here today? When we talk about these things, there's always people who criticize the new covenant tenet or principle of righteousness by faith alone. But yes, that is exactly what the Word of God says. You ought to get up every day fresh and anew stating, I believe I am the righteous. I don't care how much you blew it yesterday. Get up tomorrow knowing that His mercy and His grace is brand new today and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by faith and faith alone. And today in Jesus' name, I believe that I'm His child and I have a right to every blessing and gift from heaven because I'm His child because of my faith in His goodness. You start living like that when you blow it, not when you're feeling good and you've lived it pretty good for a week or a month. No, when you've blown it, you will find out that the next time the opportunity comes to blow it, you're going to say, wait a minute, what am I doing this loop for? He is proving to me how good He is. He is blessing me in spite of myself. I think I'll not go there this time. I love what Keith Moore told a guy. He said, every time you take a drag on that cigarette, say it out loud, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I hate this thing. The dude went for 3 months, and one day he's in the back of the church. He's an usher. I love Keith Moore. He had an usher. We got him here too. You worried about somebody smoking? I'm worried about some people's backbiting way more than somebody smoking. There he was. He's smoking. He said, I believe I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I hate this thing. He threw it down and he goes, man, I really do hate this. Last one, totally set free. It's not what you do. It's what you believe. No man can judge you after your behavior unless they're willing to do this. This is good preaching. Awesome. Are you here today? Romans 3:21 says this. Romans 3:21. You ought to underline this. You ought to know where it is. You ought to mark your Bible. Put little stars at the top of the page. Know this when you leave today. Here's what the Spirit of God says to you. He says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But now, can everybody say that with me today? But now, righteousness by faith apart from the law. Look at verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. To all and on all who get their act together. Who believe? Say, I believe.
I
am a believer. Now we know what that means a little bit more. We doing okay? Do you know that because you believe in His righteousness, it's one and the same. The healing of a physical heart. Son, your sins. Wait a minute, I thought I was asking for, no different. Your sins. You believe you're righteous by the blood because of what you believe? Your sins. That's why I got mine cut so short. You can't mess mine up. Woo! Are you getting a hold of this? Parting shot, and then I'll have to pick up here next week. Turn to Romans 4. Turn to Romans 4. I want us to read verses 1 through 8. Romans 4. What I'm trying to get across to you is that He is good. He really, really, really is good. He really, really, really did pay for it all. He really, really, really does not judge you after the flesh. He really, 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 really does not respond to you according to your behavior, but according to your faith. Sinful people who did not have their act together somehow had their belief together, and God overlooked their behavior and saw their faith. Yeah. Drives me nuts. I used to do it. I feel bad. Somebody'd have a miracle in my own ministry, and then I would turn around and tell them, you know why that happened to you? Because you've been honoring God. Because you've been faithful. Because you sought Him. And in the same breath that I witnessed a miracle and they were rejoicing, I wound them right back into the system of do, not believe. And I criticized the man who received a miracle and went shouting how good Jesus was and had a few intermittent curse words. And I was more worried about the curse words from an unrenewed mind than I was about a man whose life was completely set free. And just because he used hell a couple of times, I was offended in my self-righteous, hypercritical religious attitude. Now, if you've been walking in this thing for a while and you claim to be a grace person and you're stepping out in faith, there oughtn't be curse words coming out of your mouth. But if you do, He still isn't judging you by that. He's judging you by what you believe. Do we need to honestly before God say, Lord, anything that is a bad testimony and makes me not represent you well, help me to stand and get rid of it? Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's called, I beg you, therefore, because of all this grace and this mercy and this miracle of righteousness by faith, I beg of you, therefore, brothers, it's not hard anymore. I beg of you by the mercy of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. He made it easy. He's not judging you by that anymore. He made it easy. You offer it. Here's how. Don't be conformed to this world, but rather be you transformed, shaped, reformed by great and exceeding precious promises. How many believers we got in the house today? Oh, wow, I wish I had more time. Romans 8. 4, I mean. I love 8. Can you tell? Romans 4. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? We hear flesh. What do we think? 90% of us think of sexual sin. Or one of the biggies. Whatever that is. But we all go, flesh, sexual sin. That's not scriptural. Sexual sin is a work of the flesh. The Bible speaks of, in Galatians, of two opposing produce of something going on inside. It speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, and it speaks of the works of the flesh, which are the deeds of sin. But if you read your Bible, you'll find out. Let me try to move through this quickly. Philippians 3. Study this on your own. Paul references his life after the flesh. He talks about being a Jew of Jews. He begins to list his accomplishments, not his sins, not sexual deviances, not anything weird. He lists his accomplishments under the Jewish system as after the flesh. Then he says, but I take no confidence in the flesh, for I found out that there is a righteousness that only comes by faith. Paul, Philippians 3, read it. Flesh means self-performance. Period. Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted. He believed. Everybody say believed. Come on, everybody in here. He believed. And because he believed, listen, Abraham was a mess. He was a fibber and disobedient. He was a coward. About put his wife on the block to stay out of trouble. That's a coward. But God accounted righteousness to him because of what he believed. Do you need more scripture? Let's get our believing right. He loves you still. Pure, beautiful, and righteous because of what you believe. Not what you've done or where you've been. Your value is in the blood. Oh. Ooh. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Ooh. Ooh. Are you hearing me this morning? Are you hearing God? Let him that has ears to hear, let him hear. The church is beating people up, and we wonder why it's not working. I don't care if we wind up with 15 left. We'll meet in the back under a tent, but this is the gospel. How he loves you. For what says the scripture, verse 3, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Not to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believed on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. They let him down through a roof. Jesus' response to the miraculous healing miracle of palsy, where he stands and he walks away with his bedroll under his arm. The way that miracle was administered was, your sins are forgiven you according to faith. Paul, for no reason, for no small reason, says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep me. I know this is heavy this morning. Let it be heavy. Not heavy negative. How many feel the presence of God? Thick, 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 thick in here. I don't have to hype it up, pipe it up. We could dismiss and walk out of here just now. Most of you in here are believers anyway. We're going to give an invitation as we close for people who want prayer, want to receive the Lord. But right now, I feel like God's already doing what he needs to do. Can you say amen? Do you believe? The same breath that you have received forgiveness, a heart is made whole. Done. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Wow. I'm going to stop there. There's more I wanted to share, but I'm going to quit right there. We'll look at Israel next week and what happened and why. We'll look at a little bit more of this point that we're driving home right here. But today I want you to go out of here charged, ready. I don't want you to go out of here thinking about what you're going to do to change your plight. I want you to go out of here strengthened and encouraged. It's what you believe about Jesus that qualifies you to receive of his greatest miracles. Would you stand with me this morning? Lift our hands together one more time. How many are glad for Jesus today? How many are glad for the blood that qualified us? How many are glad that he looks at our believing, not our doing? How many are glad today that it's not our performance? I wished I had more time. I want to talk about it more, but I don't. If I do that, we'll be here another hour. But it's not our performance. We're going to look at the difference between after the flesh and the works of the flesh, and what produces what, and where the real problem is at. I believe that as you listen, you're going to get set free, and you're going to figure out we've made the healing, and we've made the deliverances, and we've made the answer to prayer to loved ones difficult. God, under this new covenant, sees no difference. It's as easy for him to say your sins are forgiven as it is to say you are healed, delivered. Peace abounds to you. Everything you need. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Let's lift our hands all over the house, shall we? Let's worship him. Let's worship him. How we worship you, how we love you. He's King of Kings. He is Lord, King. every time, quit worrying about what you do and where you fail. Every time that comes to mind, I want you to do what we're doing right now. I want you to kick your hands up, and I want you to begin to say, like a little Syrophoenician woman, I may not be worthy of this in my mind. I may not understand how all of this works, but I dare to break through and believe that because I trusted you as my Lord and Savior, that you have called me righteous. And I speak healing and deliverance over my life. Even in the midst of my failure, I'm going to start talking like it. You're going to find out that this week, you're going to be more conscious of who He is. You're going to be more conscious of His presence. You're going to be more conscious of your desire to want to please Him. And as you simply believe, watch as God takes care of the other. Do you believe me today? More importantly, do you believe Him? Me is irrelevant. Do you believe Him? Do you believe the Word? Let's take a hold of it this week, shall we? According to your faith. How many know that even when we struggle? Paul put it this way as you go. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ. Are you here today? Christ, come on, somebody say it with me. Christ, by faith, lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, there it is again, there it is again, there it is again. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You live by whose faith? Yours or His? Come on, are you in here today? Say it with me out loud. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Somebody ought to get happy about that about now. Come on, are you here today? It ought to be coming out of you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Miracles and blessing are coming my way. Every blessing of heaven is mine because in whom I have believed. And let God take care of your flesh. Your flesh will fall behind as you just start believing right. Faith, the just. Come on in here. Say, I'm righteous, I'm just, and I live by faith. Every day I'm going to get up and say it again. I'm not a failure. I'm more than a conqueror. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Where are our prayer partners as we dismiss? Where are our prayer partners at? Quickly make your way to the front. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus,